Everyone hear me right? Thank you for coming. We're just waiting for the last couple of people to wander in. Wow, great crowd. Welcome to day two. It's really good to see you all. My name is Terry Chapman. For those who haven't met me before, I'm an enterprise strategist with Microsoft New Zealand. And just a couple of logistics. Do I have any Microsoft people in this room? Because I need someone to hand out swag. Can I get you to come up here? Right, I want this session to be, I don't know if, how many of you came to my session yesterday, but I really want this to be an interactive session because I want you to be able to walk away with knowing something maybe you didn't know before. And to do that, I need to hear your stories. And so what I'm going to try and do with this session today is I'm going to try and get through it relatively quickly. And at the end of the session, what I want to do is I want to hear some of your stories on Bring Your Own Device. And I want to share with the room. So where's my volunteer? We have these, I got these from Bradley, Windows Server 2012 engraved dog tags, specially done for server launch today, so you want one of these things. Right, so a couple of logistics. This is not a technical session. So I won't be offended if you're expecting a Windows 8 session, and we're not going to be doing, we're not going to be talking specifically about product today. We're going to be talking about some of the strategies and, well, as the title says, dispelling some of the myths that we've come across. One other thing, guys. This, your badge. What I've been watching it for the last day or so. So you got the entrance. Techhead attendee, 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 geek, geek, geek. Don't forget to take these off when you go out. Right, why did I decide to do this session? I spend a lot of time talking with our customers and partners, and there's a lot of misconception out there about what Bring Your Own Device is. So the motivation to come up with this slide deck is to give you some food for thought and also to give you some pointers of things which if you're not thinking about today, you might accidentally trip over on the way. I'd really like this session to be interactive, so if you've got any questions, we've got a mic up here. What we'll do is during the presentation, if you've got any questions, I'll just ask if you make the questions quite succinct and quick, and I'll try to answer them at the time, or we'll come back to them later on, just so we don't disrupt the flow too much. But I've got stuff to give away, so I'll be asking questions and giving stuff away. I know you guys love swag, so... Right, first some terminology. BYOD, Bring Your Own Device, or consumerization of IT. Now these terms are quite regularly interchanged. Microsoft's view on this is that Bring Your Own Device is more of a subset of consumerization of IT. Consumerization of IT is a lot broader, but for the sake of this presentation, they're pretty much the one and the same thing. Sacred cow. Someone asked me the other day, what's a sacred cow? I thought, okay. A sacred cow is something which, from an organisational perspective, is something that your company is doing, is always done, and has never been challenged. And there's no great reason that it's never been challenged, it's just never been challenged. And so hopefully some of the things that we'll talk about today is will maybe give you food for thought. So, I've got five myths to go through today. And the first one is, bring your own device, will pass, will wait it out. You know, who thinks this? Can someone give me the next phrase of this? No. Who said that? Hand up, please. Where's my swag man? It's not going away, and I think you guys and girls have seen that in your own organisations. And why is that? Why do we think that is? I'm not going to hark on this because Brendan did a great job in his presentation yesterday morning about flexible work styles. But the way people are using computers is changing. It's changing in their personal life, and that's also reflective on it's changing in their work life, or they want it to change in their work life. So it's people collaborate. They're collaborating a lot more. So we've got the likes of Facebook and Twitter and all those things. Your users are getting a lot more sophisticated. Show of hands, whose parents use Facebook? Amazing. Could you even imagine 5 years ago that they'd be using Facebook? My mum is in her 70s and she uses Facebook. 5 years ago she didn't even know how to turn the computer on, and now she's a wizard on Facebook. So even though, and especially, I know I've got a lot of government customers in the room, and we tend to think of our end users as, they're more old school. They won't really embrace this bring your own device. Well, they are. I mean, that's great evidence of it. And there's expectations from our end users of 24/7 support. Now, I know that you guys don't want to be called in the middle of the night to say my device won't connect to the network, but there's a constant expectation of being able to resolve things instantly, being able to connect without issues, and things just work. So that's something which is really the whole IT industry as it matures, and I'm sure you guys have seen this too, is I have an expectation when I sit down and turn on a device, I just want it to work. I don't want to be bothered with messing about and going, is the connectivity going to work? How do I connect to my corporate resources? And your and the customers that you look after now have that expectation as well. It just works. I don't want to have to mess around with stuff. Now, from a personal perspective, we've got work-life balance is a whole different ball game. And I'm happy to talk to any of you about it because I've got lots of views on this. I've got a young family, 3 young kids, and so work-life balance is important to me. And so that's an important thing to your end users now, is how do they balance what they need to do at work with home, and where's the blend? And I quite like this phrase. It's not actually work-life, it's life with all your components underneath it, and that just includes work. So we've talked a little bit about this, but today's expectations is just works. I want the IT to work the way I want to work, not the way you want me to work. It needs to be relevant, and I need access to all my stuff. And we've got our own personal experiences as well, but the stats back up the way that the industry is going. The figure that really stands out for me on here is 2 billion internet devices today. 2 billion. It's amazing, isn't it? 2/3 of companies worldwide have adopted tablets. And 20% of those are for consumption, for content creation, sorry. That's going to change soon. And I think we're at the leading edge of doing that. So how does Microsoft think about bring your own device? Have any of you guys seen this before? Microsoft, I mean, you will have seen a sea change in the way that Microsoft is thinking about IT at the moment, thinking about cloud, thinking about access, thinking about making things so that they just work. I know that we haven't had a great history in that. XP, a little bit of Vista. So at the centre of this equation is the end user, the consumer of the service. So they want to be social, as they do with their personal life. They want to be able to access information from anywhere, from home, probably not in the car, you'll get pulled over by cops. In the office, they want to be able to move around and have all their stuff follow them. They want to be able to use the range of devices that they want, and they want to be able to have things just work on that. Our view of that is either from the data center or from the cloud, it doesn't matter, or both, take your pick. Applications delivered down to device, no matter what the device is, to the end user. my company isn't doing bring your own device. Show of hands for anyone who's got end users who currently bring in a personal cell phone or laptop, please. Leave your hand up if you bring a personal cell phone or laptop to work. Guess what? You're doing bring your own device. If you think you're not doing bring your own device, so what do you do about it? Do you ignore it? Hope it'll go away? Yeah, I think we talked about that one. Do you resist it? How well do you think that'll go down with your end users? Or do you embrace it and empower your end users to do this? Bring your own device strategy, do it or have it done to you. Of all the people who put their hand up of end users who have bringing their own devices, can you put your hand up if you currently have a strategy for how to deal with those? That's not bad. About a subset, it's about 20% of the people who put their hands up. Right. Bring your own device. It's all or nothing. This is something that I personally hear really commonly out when I'm talking to customers. Well, we'll have someone will rock up with their iThing, and I'm a bit worried about security because it doesn't have encryption and all that sort of stuff. And it's I either give them access or I don't give them access. So, Microsoft's view of this is that it's not actually black or white. It's not full access or no access. It's actually a bit of a gradient of choices. And I'll just walk you through those of where we see this. And you may have seen this before, but it's good to reinforce it. So, I'll talk a little bit more detail of these in a sec. So there's here is your own, choose your own, bring your own, our good friend, and on your own. I have no idea what that is. It's not me. Someone has a really interesting ringtone. All right, so this is a balance of enterprise control and choice for your users. So, has anyone seen this? Put your hands up if you've seen this before. Oh, wow. I've got to go talk to our marketing department. Okay, so here is your own device. This is pretty typical. This is what we've done for the last 15, 20 years. Here's a PC. It's managed. It's locked down. You can't even put your screensaver and your picture of your cat on the desktop. It's locked down. We maintain full enterprise support across the device. And we do this because we don't trust you, because you must be idiots. And we've got bulk discount from our favorite vendor over here. This is the traditional model, and bring your own device is here because it's end users are rebelling against this model. In some circumstances, it's still applicable, and I've put a financial controller. Excuse me. So if someone is not mobile, they're typically accessing very confidential data, then this is probably a good model for them. One second. Sorry about that. Choose your own. So this is pretty similar, except for it's, and some of us do this currently as well, is you've got a choice of one through five devices. It's this one, this one, this one, or this one. Which one do you want? Again, it's driven by bulk purchasing. Quite often may become a more semi-managed device, or sometimes it's fully managed, depending on the control. And the enterprise still maintains full control end-to-end. Bring your own. This is an interesting one, right? Because it's the employee either has they normally have a budget, go and buy a device. And so this has some interesting ramifications for you guys. So how's the hardware supported? Well, it's supported by the vendor or retailer. So the enterprise doesn't now have, doesn't typically support the hardware itself, just the delivery of services to the device. And these are typically unmanaged with some limited policies applied to them. And finally, on your own, it's the Wild West. Bring anything, don't care. All I'm going to give you is an internet connection so that you can connect into our services. These are very typical in a contractor type format. So who does this at the moment, this one? How do you do it? Wi-Fi only, yep. And what do you do to secure, so that you protect your network from the device? Sorry?
Citrix Receiver.
Citrix Receiver, okay, so present the information down it. Okay, cool, yeah, that's pretty common. Thanks for that. All right, bring your own device, all access pass, come on in. Yeah, it's not going to work really, is it? So that's not so much the information about, it's not so much the getting into the enterprise, but it's when you're in the enterprise, what can you actually do when you get in there? So there's three elements to this. First, there's the user, or who, the user, the need, and as we go across, identity management and federation. So as we go from the person to the technology, there's where, from a location and device, where from, and the choice of device, access management, device management, as a friend said, and getting information down. And lastly, the what. So that's apps and data, and we need to maintain enterprise control of that, and there's different mechanisms to do that. So, who's accessing the information? From where? And it could be any number of devices, right? And to what corporate information? Has anyone seen a metal model like this before? Or a model like this? So, this is something that we use within Microsoft, and this is something that we help customers implement when they're creating an information architecture. And it ranges, as you can see from the graphic, it ranges from none through to high business impact. And that's the, think about front page of the newspaper. So if your organization's on the front page of the newspaper for something it's done, think of some recent examples, then that's what you want to try to avoid. So that's the purpose of classifying your data. And so high business impact, medium, low, none. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. Oh, okay. All right. Mate, I'll just stand like this. All good? So this is how Microsoft bring these things together. So, and I'll dive slightly into the technology here, but this is not a technical session, as you know. So here is your own and choose your own. All right, I'm just going to stand still here. So these are people and devices, don't forget the where, that probably have a direct access to all of your low, moderate, high impact data. And if we look at some of the ramifications, so device, it's probably going to be encrypted because there might be data on the device itself. Yeah, I saw that. Just watching. Yeah, just watch me, don't watch that. And also where, so policies of if you take your device into an internet cafe, we know of the device, it's a lot more insecure location than if you're on the corporate land, so you might apply policies to that. And lastly, the who, so you remember what we'd be who, where, what. Bring your own device. typically, like our example down here, you'll have it'll go through to a gateway. You might have VPN. You might be able to directly get to low impact information like email, IM presence, voice, or the stuff which it wouldn't really make the front page, probably. And then you control through virtualizing down to the device for the moderate and high. And you still have still have the same policies across the who, where, what. And finally, on your own public internet access, all you've got is an internet connection and then a virtualization session down to that device. So this is what Microsoft do. Any questions about that, actually, before we move on? Oh, a quiet audience today. Oh, you just picked up a... sorry. All right, so myth number 5. And we're racing through this because I got swag to give away and I want to hear what you guys are doing and I want to talk about that. So Product X solves bring your own device for me. Yeah, not really. Not even a Microsoft product. So there's a whole bunch of things to think about when you're planning a bring your own device strategy. And I'm going to talk through these and then we're going to close the presentation and do some Q&A and some stories. Okay, so digital asset classification. So this, we mentioned this briefly before, this assumes that you know what's in your enterprise, of course. And it's not really a technical decision, it's a business decision. So what the value of the data to the business. And so task number one is to go through your digital assets, which is pretty much anything which is stored on the server or a SAN or whatever, anything that has value to the business and classify it. It's not a trivial task. But it's something which is really important as part of a BYOD, bring your own device strategy. Workforce segmentation. So it sounds obvious, but I come across it pretty regularly where this hasn't been done. What do your end users do? What services need to be presented out to them? And where are they? Who are they? What do they do? What's their role? So it can be as simple as a spreadsheet of user, role, category, and what services they need. So after you've got that information, you'll have the makings of, okay, so my mobility strategy, I didn't know that I needed that, so that 60% of my users were static. So it's actually going to be lower cost for me to give these guys and girls desktops than what it is to hand out tablets to everyone. So understand your workforce. Company culture. Anyone think that culture doesn't play an influence on whether you're going to make this successful or not? This is an interesting one, and it's I'm reminded of a really good story. I was called in to address. We were doing a Link 2010 assessment. So things had gone wrong. The customer wasn't happy with Link 2010, and so I went and had a chat to the CIO. And said, "Well, the project appears to be successful. Why are we canning it?" And the CIO said, "Well, we've got it's in, and we've got the pilot group using it, and unfortunately, we've got our managers checking the end user's status to see whether they're working or not, and they're using it as a sort of informal clock in, clock out mechanism." And so, I thought, oh yeah, I've couldn't. So. Microsoft hadn't actually done a great job of bringing that out before the start of the project, and so culture plays a really big part. So that particular project was never going to be successful because the business hadn't addressed the cultural element of doing this, and it had surfaced cultural challenges which were there already, but the technology surfaced them even more. Your secure access architecture. So this is so you've developed your taxonomy. You've classified your data. Now you need to do something useful for that. So that's around how do you design your. It's not just about plonk a firewall in, but it's what. Which of these categories can get access to which information under what categories and who? So who, where, what? This is one that's really commonly overlooked. Really, really commonly overlooked. The policies and standards, procedures, guidelines, we've got them in all of those companies. Sometimes they get put in the filing cabinet and never looked at again. We need to give end users some guidance on how to do this. So imagine your help desk. Your end user rings and says, I've got a problem. What's your help desk do? I don't know. Is it your device? Is it our device? No, sorry, can't help you. You're on your own. So these are things that, and I'll talk about this in the support policy, these are things that you need to think about and update the policy of and your standards. So and when I talk about standards, let's think about... I quite commonly see, great, we've brought X product, and now all our iPads coming into the enterprise can connect. Excellent. Great, we've fixed it. Fantastic. And then the next person brings in an Android or a Windows tablet or something else. Go, oh, darn, we've got to fix that again. So think about not just individual products and technologies. Think about trusted, untrusted, managed, unmanaged. And so for a standard, for instance, you would say, okay, well, I'm going to present virtualization down to this end device. It's going to be RDP, version, blah. All that I need to know is that your device, I don't really care what it is, conforms with, it can support RDP, and then you're good to go. Any questions on that? No, I'm not a licensing guy, but... I tend to become more expert in licensing as I go on in Microsoft because it's a complex beast. And you need to, as an architect, I need to understand my architectural constraints, and licensing tends to be one of them. Of I can propose the perfect architecture and then discover that it's going to cost so much in licensing that it'll never fly. So as an architect, I now... Have licensing as one of my constraints, which I think about when I'm designing architectures, and I think you guys should do it too as well. So there's some ramifications on licensing which you need to be aware of. If you've got an end user connecting to, say, an Exchange server, they're going to still consume a cow. So just because they're on their own device or on a managed device or somewhere in between, it's thus still going to need that licensing. You might have saved on the licensing cost of the OS, but you've still got connection costs. So that just some things to think about with adding a little complication.
What about if you've got social listening that work for you, even if you have pirated software on your own devices? Where does it get
money? Oh, so the question was, what if you've got end users with pirated software and that sort of stuff on your devices? That's down to your policies, really. So, the company is responsible. So it's who's going to get sued? So, yeah, who has the money? Not the user, the company. So, good question. So, yeah, think about that really carefully. Right, your support policy. So what are you going to do? What's your IT going to do? What's your end user going to do? What are their expectations? What's your relationship with the hardware vendors? So just because you've abdicated, like say you're going to go, right, we're going to be 60%, bring your own, 10% on your own, and the rest, here's your own. All those bring your own devices, when the hardware fails, what are they going to do? What are you going to tell them? So they ring up your help desk and say, the user says, my hardware's blown up or it's got stolen. How do you deal with that? How does your support practice deal with that? So it's something, and we can talk about some specific stories shortly. So think about how you're going to deal with that, the policies you need in place for your help desk, and the expectations for the end users. Financial impact. This is something that's quite commonly overlooked. Anyone know what FBT is? Anyone from IRD, please put your hands down. All right, yeah. Who was the one who called it out first? All right. Where's my swag, man? Fringe benefit tax in New Zealand. Is there anyone from IRD who can explain it better than me? So fringe benefit tax is the company needs to pay tax on the value of what's being given. So, for instance, if you give your end users some money to buy a device, then the company needs to pay fringe benefit tax on that. So it adds a lot of complication to the tax, and it actually can get quite expensive if you don't consider it. And there's also a move from direct costs of supporting a device to indirect costs, and some of those can include user downtime, productivity, those sort of things that you need to think about. And of course, licensing, you've got to put in the infrastructure to support this and the support from your IT and third parties. Have a think about some of the prerequisites that you need to do. So, do you have a solid remote access environment at the moment with application virtualization being able to push applications down? If you do, will it support if you suddenly do, okay guys, we're doing bring your own device, go for gold, that's 60% of your organization starts connecting and everything goes down because you haven't scaled to it. And lastly, think about your communication strategy. So how are you going to get that information out to the end users? So you've got your intranet, you've got workshops, social media. My personal favourite is power users, who are your best friend. So it's who uses power users in here? Either nervous to put your hand up or not many. Power users are your greatest advocate. They are the ones. So if you roll out your project, and you elicit power users from all over the organisation, these are the ones that advocate your new technology and drive enthusiasm across your enterprise for these new technologies. They are probably the strongest weapon in your arsenal for a successful migration. One last thing on bring your own device. And then we'll go into some questions and stories. Consider how disruptions in technology may impact your bring your own device strategy. What's my reference up here? Anyone know? Oh. Yeah. Maybe. I'm not going to actually throw those out in the audience. They're actually pretty heavy. I'd probably knock someone out. So it's Windows to Go is, I think, potentially one of the game changers for bring your own device. And for those who went at Brendan's session yesterday or haven't heard about it, Windows to Go is you've got a USB stick, you've got Windows 8 on that device, and you can rock on up to anything, any old device, plug it in, reboot, and boot into a corporate image. So where do we think that sits on that spectrum which we had before? Anyone have a guess? Back here. Can you pass the mic so we can... Yep. And where do you think on bring your own... on your own through to here's your own, where do you think the something like Windows to Go sits?
On your own and the other one.
Bring your own, yeah, and manage. Actually, yeah, you're right. Whoops. So this cross cuts across it. So it's, to be honest, I really need to sit down and have a good think about this myself of what does this mean? What new things does this enable that we haven't thought about yet? I can, and we're talking to customers at the moment who are looking at this technology and go, wow, this is amazing. I was planning an infrastructure where I was going to have to support any old device and the data costs were going to be astronomical. And now I can just give these end users one of these Windows to Go sticks, plug it in and synchronize data. The data costs go down. I think this thing is a game changer. So it's something to watch out for. Have we got any Microsoft licensing people in here? Windows to Go is covered under software assurance. So what's the particular concern?
I'm just thinking, you've got a machine on a stick, mm-hmm. You're using it in various machines. It's not just the Microsoft software you're going to be putting on it, and each software license is usually per machine, not per user.
Well, it's licensed as a companion device. So, if you've got software assurance, that's applied to that end user. They plug the device in. I think you were talking about just that device going around. So, they're licensed to have that device. So, it doesn't actually matter what's on the laptop itself because you're not using the operating system that's on that laptop. Okay, so what about the other applications? So think of it as a managed device in that circumstance. So you can apply corporate policies down to that Windows to Go device. Yep. So what Ant's saying is from Microsoft's standpoint, the USB key is just a device. Right. We've got a little bit of time, and it's good that we've got some extra time. I'd really like to hear some of your guys' stories. So, what are you guys doing with bring your own device at the moment? What are you struggling with? What's working well for you? What's not working so well for you? And I've got swag to give away to encourage.
Changes are a real problem.
Because
take for example an Android device that might have synchronization of mail plus a domain login and password to connect to the network. So it's two places where the password has to be changed. The users change it in one, not in the other, and then their passwords lock up at the host, at the Active Directory. So you then have to have support unlocking it, figuring out where they've mm-hmm. not set the password correctly.
So this is just a paraphrase. So this is password changes on devices which don't belong and not part of the
domain
enterprise. Yep. Mm-hmm. That is a bring your own and on your own problem. And what do you do today to fix it?
It's individual for each different device, and mm-hmm. support are thinking it's a real headache at the moment.
Yep. So some things that you can, I'll come to you in a sec. So some things you can think about is how do you do identity access management? So to me that suggests that you're still working on an overarching identity management strategy for your organisation. It is a challenge, but with a bring your own device, the actual device itself is the end user's responsibility to unlock it from a password perspective. What you can do, though, is you can release guidance on how to do best policies for passwords and stuff. Daniel? Let's just grab the mic. Just because we're recording.
Yeah. with us, basically, we tell the user that, you know, this is the policy. You're using wireless to access, you know, corporate email and calendar through Exchange using ActiveSync. And basically, we're telling them it's just like your computer. If you change your password at your computer, you've got to change it at your device, your remote device.
So this is bring your own device?
Yeah. So we're explaining all of that to them right at the start so that there's no misconceptions, there's no confusion. If something, if they change anything on their phone, they realise it's their password.
So, did you put that in when you first started doing bring your own device, or did you react to having issues?
No. Basically, we just looked at who else was doing it and what they came up with. So we basically put that in place as well on policy.
Okay. So, and what policies have you got in regards to protecting your environment?
Mainly controlled through ActiveSync, through Exchange. Basically, your password gets put onto the phone. It's 1 minute.
Okay.
And then it locks. If they lose it, we wipe it.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's great. Any other examples, Becky?
Now, I work at the university, and what we're finding at the moment is that a lot of overseas visitors to the university come in with bring your own devices, which is fine, except they're all in Danish or Japanese or Korean, and it's beginning to get a real support problem.
So what are you doing to address that at the moment?
At the moment, we're just working as hard as we can with the end user to actually work that, but if there was some form of making language translation in network connections, for example, a bit easier, that would help.
So out of interest, are these people that are coming in with different languages, where are they going to for support? Is it just your IT support department, or are they going back to their own country for who own the device?
It's a bit of both, but mainly they come to us for connection to the network at the university. So, yeah, it is a problem.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. What we typically see is that with customers that are doing just that sort of thing with bring your own device, is that the company owns the data application delivery mechanism and stops at that point, and then it's up to, if it's a contractor coming in, if it's their own laptop, it's their responsibility to do the hardware and operating system, and all the organisation or hosting organisation is doing is just supporting down to the application delivery. That's a good point. Interestingly,
has anyone actually done the cost benefit analysis? I mean, there must be a lot of cost around putting in the security for your data and reputational risk based on somebody bringing in their own personal devices and having access to information and applications. I mean, even the software, you've got the generation out there now that believe they've got a right to download and use whatever they want, and yet your company is going to be responsible for whatever they do on their own personal devices, and we're letting them come in and connect them. So does anyone actually know what the real cost is and the real risk?
No. to be frank, it's up to every individual organisation to do their own risk profile, risk assessment as part of bring your own device, because that is a problem with end users installing software that they shouldn't be installing on there. It's, to be frank, it's always been a little bit of a problem back from when you had XP and you didn't have admin rights, so suddenly you had one of everything on your environment. So it's, I think we've all either in or worked environments that have that. It's to start with, it's down to corporate policy, and then it's down to education. And you can do things like whitelisting applications, and it really depends on your user profile. So, for instance, if you've got 60% task-based workers that only use a computer periodically, then you're probably not going to give them all access pass to a device. You probably give them, here's a device, it's very limited, like a Windows RT or something which you can't configure a lot, and it's just got what they need to do on there. So it's matching the requirements with the device. Well, think with the first question of who's doing it in here, I think everyone's doing it regardless. I think the delta is who's controlling it, or who's actually doing it in a stage sort of way. And so it's happening to all organisations that we're working with. Only probably 10 to 20%, just from my own personal experience, have a strategy in place which puts some policy and control and empowerment around it.
I'd just like to say that I think the bring your own device trend is really just a variation on remote access that we've all had in place for years. And if you're using things like Outlook Web Access and Outlook Anywhere, then you've already got these problems. You've already got unmanaged devices connecting to your network in various ways and maybe VPNing in. It's just now they're portable when they're coming to work with the person as well.
Sure, that's true, but it's more of an expansion of that. So yeah. In the, like, if you've just got web access and VPNs, the assumption is that it's all access pass. So once you're on. Woohoo, it's go for gold. This is actually applying strategy around what types of data am I going to give my users access to? What's my security architecture? I can let someone with a device on my network, but by default they have no access apart from maybe an internet connection. So it's giving considered thought to how you treat those devices and the people you bringing them in. Danny?
A couple of questions.
Sure.
Do you need to have a social media strategy with a BYOD strategy? And the second one is, does Microsoft have a recommended MDM, managed mobile device management tool? Because there's AirWatch, good, a whole lot. What's your take on that?
Mm. So the first question, do you need to have a social media strategy? In what context? Between end users or to the end users and advertising of this?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of new end users bring their own device are normally the younger generation, mm-hmm. and they live on social media.
Yeah.
So that's one strategy, but the other strategy is how businesses use social media to mine it for information or if people complain about their services. So to me, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, that is an interesting point, and it's... if you're giving, so we talked earlier on about work-life balance, and so there's a good chance that you'll have your workers on their personal devices and their work devices and something else, and so there's more of a blur between what becomes personal information and what becomes corporate information. So in Microsoft, for instance, we have something called Office Talk, which is now changing, but which is our internal version of Twitter. So it's but it is a good point that thinking about, and so that's policy again and education of how you treat corporate information versus personal information. Now there's more of a blur between the devices and the services that end users are using. Yeah. Oh yeah. So the yeah, the statement is, so we've got Outlook and you've got LinkedIn feed coming, you've got Facebook feed coming in. It's you do need to put some at least some thought into that of how you want to, your end users to consume that, and making sure that there's not corporate leaks as well. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, question there. Going back to the cost benefits analysis, we did an assessment at Raycon, and we found that the cost benefits were directly related to the infrastructure optimization maturity model, and depending where you were on that scale, and if you were towards the standard end of that optimization model, the cost benefits really couldn't be realized within the business because there was too much investment required to get you to where you needed to be. On the other hand, if you were towards the dynamic end of the scale, you pretty much had all the infrastructure and solutions in place that you needed to be. And I would suggest that anybody that's looking at BYOD should really start with the optimization and moving the maturity level towards that dynamic nirvana to get the best out of BYOD.
Sure, that's a valid point. So for those of you who haven't come across the optimization model, it's It's a maturity model with four stages, which goes from basic through to dynamic, and it's maturing of your IT services and supporting infrastructure to go with that. If you're currently running your network on a piece of string, then probably you're going to need to do a lot of work to get some of the security architecture in. So it is a reasonable point that that you may need to go through some infrastructure maturity process to get some of these underlying services in. All right, we've got time for one more question. What about anyone over here? Denton?
I would like to know where Microsoft sits at the moment in terms of bring your own device. Are you guys on your own, or do you have, are you still in a controlled way, or what's the trend? Microsoft employee, is Microsoft going to allow you, everyone, to bring their own device? Or?
Oh, that's an interesting question. you guys ever heard of the Builder's House? It is a valid question. So, at the moment, we're all given managed devices. We also have unmanaged devices like our Windows phones. We do have, so all the strategies that I talked you through before, we follow those. So we classify line of business applications, line of business data on the risk. And then, for instance, I can't get access to payroll data if I am remote. I need to be connected to the corporate LAN. I think it's very likely that we're all going to be given Windows 8 to go devices and be sent on our merry way just connecting to anything that's useful and gain access to corporate devices. So yeah, we are following our own strategy. I think that's all we've got time for. Just one last point. Excellent. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming today.